So 20 years ago from yesterday, just as Andy had mentioned in his pastoral prayer, the world, at least for those of us in America, the world changed. 2,996 people died in the terrorist attacks on 9/11 at the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. And so, as long as you were alive and old enough to remember that day, I think it's safe to say you will never forget where you were when you heard the news of that great national grief. For me, I was 8 years old. I was having a normal day in school when our teacher just simply announced we would be getting out of school early, but didn't tell us why. So I remember I didn't know any better, so I was excited. I thought that I was going to get a free day off of school to play with my best friend instead of being stuck inside. And so I remember in that time when we were waiting for our moms to pick us up, we were plotting about whose house we were going to go to and what games we were going to play. Only when my mom got there and I asked if my friend could come over, she told me no with tears in her eyes, and I knew something was up. I remember she got down on eye level with me, and her voice was cracking, and she told me that something terrible had happened that day, that a lot of people had died, and that I just needed to be at home with my family that day. And so when I finally got home, and I saw those very familiar pictures on TV, I understood. I stared at disbelief in those images none of us will ever forget. The planes crashing into the towers, the smoke billowing out, that deep pain in your gut from the loss and the grief and the shock over losing those 2,996 people, even if we didn't know a single one of them personally. And so over the next few days and weeks and months and even years, when the dust settled a little bit and the initial shock wore off, many of us were left with that simple but impossible question. Why? Why did this happen? Why did these people do this? Why did God let this happen? Why did all these people have to die? And so this question, why, it's a natural question that we all ask when we are facing all sorts of grief, whether big or whether small. Whether we have lost an elderly parent or grandparent, if we've lost a friend, a spouse, a child, even suffered a miscarriage, that grief is still familiar and real and raw and hard. And so we are left wondering why. Why did this happen? And we are left wondering where God is in the midst of that grief and pain. So in this sermon series, Get Real, we are taking a look at these phrases that are often thought of as scriptural or Christian, but aren't actually in the Bible. And this week's is one that is sometimes said in response to a death, that God needed another angel. It's a common phrase. I'm sure you've heard it said to someone before, maybe you or a loved one in the face of a loss. It may even be something that you have said before, meaning well. And that's okay. We're not here to shame anybody this morning, but we're going to take a harder look at this phrase together. Because put yourself in those shoes of grief for just a moment this morning. If you have just suffered a miscarriage of a very wanted pregnancy, do you really want to hear that God needed another angel? If you have lost a spouse, a friend, a parent, a child, do you really want to hear that God needed to take them from you and just decided to do so? Do we really even want to risk even slightly implying that God wanted or needed the September 11 terrorist attacks to happen to get more angels in heaven? No. Of course, when we look at it this way, this phrase doesn't make sense, does it? It is always said with good intentions, we know that. It's always meant as a statement of comfort and hope. But the reality is, most of the time, it just leaves the recipient feeling yucky. This phrase is said not because we want to make those grieving feel bad, no. We don't say it because we really think that God willy-nilly takes people because he needs to. But we often say this phrase because we don't know what else to say when someone is suffering a painful loss and a deep grief. So what does the Bible really say about grief and loss? What hope can we take from Scripture in the face of death? What truth can you and I know today when we are faced with loss and grief as it is inevitable in this life? Well, today we are going to look and get that answer from the life of Jesus. We are going to look and see what Jesus did in response to loss and grief in his own life. We are told in the Gospel of John that Jesus had three best friends that were so very near and dear to his heart: Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And so we'll pick up on the story of Jesus, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus in chapter 11 of the Gospel of John, beginning in verse 1. And so I'm going to read a little bit extra of the story than what is listed in your bulletin this morning. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent a message to Jesus: "Lord, the one whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you might believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go so that we may die along with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus began to weep. So here, as you can see, Jesus is going through his own story of grief and loss. So right off the bat, before we get into the details of the story, we can claim this in the face of our own grief. Jesus has been there. During his time on earth, Jesus experienced a deep and a painful loss, just like you and just like me. And so when Mary and Martha know that their brother Lazarus is ill, and they fear that he might die, they do the only thing that they know to do. They reach out to Jesus for help. And so to their surprise, and honestly, to my surprise as well, Jesus doesn't come quite yet. Jesus stays back for 2 more days, and Lazarus dies. But then something strange and something amazing happens. Jesus decides he must go visit Mary and Martha in their grief. And so here's the thing. Here's the detail of this story that we often miss. This was not an easy journey for Jesus to make. Judea, the place where Mary and Martha were, it was full of people who were trying to kill Jesus. In the disciples' eyes, Jesus was crazy for even thinking about heading back in that direction, even with Lazarus's death. And here's the thing, we know Jesus didn't have to make that physical journey to see Mary and Martha. Jesus could have healed Lazarus from the safety of afar, because he's Jesus after all. Jesus could have made sure that Lazarus didn't even die in the first place from afar, but Jesus didn't. Jesus bravely walked, literally, into the face and the threat of death just to be with Mary and Martha in their grief. I love what Thomas says about this whole situation in the Message translation. It says in verse 16, "Come along. We might as well die with him." The disciples were sure that Jesus was facing certain death just to physically be with these two women in their grief. And they just didn't get it. But Jesus got it. Jesus understood how important physical presence, how important just the act of being with someone in their grief is. Jesus understood that that is so important that he would walk through the threat of death just to get there. And so that same Jesus who risked death to provide comfort in the midst of grief, that same Jesus is there for you and there for me too. And so when Jesus gets there, we see what his response to grief was. Jesus listened to Mary and Martha. Jesus listened and understood as they poured out their hearts. They lamented that their brother would not have died if Jesus was there. And Jesus didn't respond with anger. Jesus did not chastise them for questioning in the middle of their grief. Instead, in verse 33, we are told that Jesus was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved by their outpouring of emotion. And so it's important to note that this phrase in the Greek, what's translated as "was greatly disturbed," it means to snort with anger, to blame, or to sigh with chagrin. So we see a Jesus here that was overcome with emotion, just like Mary and Martha. We see a Jesus who was angry at the whole situation, just like Mary and Martha. We see a Jesus who went through that whole range of emotions, of grief, of pain, of guilt, of anger, of uncertainty in the face of grief, just like you and me. And so we see that the Bible does not tell us that God takes people from us because there are angels needed in heaven. God does not allow death and tragedy just to strike on a whim. What the Bible does tell us is that God is there for us in our grief. God allows us to be open and honest, sharing questions and letting out anger if we need to in response to our loss. And God feels that pain right alongside us. God is greatly disturbed. God weeps right alongside us in our loss. And so even though Mary, Martha, and Jesus, they all experience this real and deep and raw grief, that is not where the Bible leaves us. The Bible does not leave us just to wallow in our sorrows. The Bible doesn't just encourage us that God feels our pain. No. The Bible charges us and challenges us and inspires us to have hope. Look, starting in verse 24. Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." So we see that Martha doesn't just have grief. She has hope. But Martha doesn't have just a cotton candy hope. She has a real and painful grief. She can say in the same breath that she is angry that her brother died, but she is hopeful and trusting in the resurrection. Martha reminds us that in the midst of death, we also see the fulfillment of the gospel of Christ. In the midst of all the pain and sorrow we experience because of the brokenness and the incompleteness of this life, we can claim the hope of a life after this one, the hope of a resurrection. We know that all this pain, all these Good Friday experiences we have that come with death in this life, in the midst of all that, we can also claim the hope that Easter Sunday is coming. There is hope in a resurrection. There is a dual place of brokenness and hope, of grief and faith. And that is something really actually in the Bible that you and I can claim today. So if we know that God needed another angel is not the appropriate response to grief and to loss, then what is? What do we do when we or someone so near and dear to us has experienced a deep and painful loss that just doesn't make any sense? Well, in our scripture passage today, Mary, Martha, and Jesus, they give us the model of what to do when grief strikes. From Mary and Martha, we learn that in our times of grief, we must reach out to Jesus with the fullness of ourselves. We must reach out to Jesus, tears in our eyes, our voices cracking, and sharing our heart with God. Even if that means sharing our anger, even if that means sharing our questions, even if that means sharing, oh so imperfectly, our desire to hold on to any little scrap of hope that we can, we gotta do it. God can handle it all. And God is there for us in our grief. And so Jesus models for all of us what we need to do when others in our lives are hurting. We need to be there for them. We need to provide the ministry of presence. It's not about having the right words, the right phrases, the right Bible verses, or the right prayers to say to another person. It's about making the effort to be there. It's about making that phone call. It's about sending that text. It's about being there, even if all you can do is hug that person and cry right alongside them. In this painful season that we are all in together, I do not know the losses and pains you are struggling with. I do not know the grief that you hold in your heart. I don't know who the Lazaruses of your life are. But I do know this. Just as Jesus was there for Mary and Martha, Jesus is there for you. Just as Jesus wept for Lazarus, Jesus weeps at national tragedy. Jesus weeps for you in your grief. And so may we all follow the example of Jesus, and may we all weep for one another. Will you close in prayer with me? God of comfort, we give you thanks for your presence in our deep grief. May we learn from the examples of Mary and Martha and Jesus this day. May we be honest when we need to be honest. May we weep when we need to weep in the midst of grief and loss. And we give thanks for the hope of the resurrection, God. We give thanks for that hope, even in the midst of pain and of death. Amen. We thank you for joining us in worship this morning. And so now, hear the benediction. As you prepare to leave this place, as you prepare to meet whatever the week ahead has for you, may you go following that example of Jesus and Martha and Mary. May you know that God is with you, whatever grief you have to face. And may you be like Jesus and be there for others. Be that hands and feet of Jesus for others in the midst of their grief. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.